Our reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 6 and reading verses 1 to 4. And we'll be looking at verse 4 this morning. Ephesians 6, beginning to read at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, Paul's injunction to parents is that they are responsible for bringing up their children, for training them, for admonishing them in the Lord. And part of that responsibility involves discipline when necessary. And of course, it is necessary, because we all have sinful natures when we enter into this world. And even though we may look innocent and adorable, nevertheless, it doesn't take that much time for parents to realize this scheming mind of the child, so that the child can end up controlling the parents. I mean, you wouldn't think it, right? Parents are so big and strong and the children are so small, but they have an ability, a subtleness from somewhere that is able to get their own way. And the more they grow, the clearer and more subtler their tactics become known. The Bible puts a very strong point on this teaching. Proverbs speaks much about it when it says, he who spares the rod, we've made it into a proverb, of course, spare the rod, spoil the child, but that's not exact words that the scripture uses. It says, he who spares the rod hates his son. I mean, he really puts it in very stark terms. And parents are shocked and they're, well, we don't hate our children. But the scripture says, in effect, that's what you're doing. You don't discipline your children means that you hate them, means that you don't care about their well-being. You don't care how they're going to turn out. You don't care about the trouble that they're going to get into. If you really loved your children, you would be concerned. He who disciplines loves his child, says Hebrews chapter 12, which we, of course, read. When we chasten, then we have hope for the child. But if we don't chasten our children, then really we're dooming them in terms of their future. And society, of course, and especially Western society, which is kind of terrible when you think about it, those that have had a Christian foundation, a Christian heritage, though they are, obviously, the majority are not Christians, but though they have a Christian heritage, those nations are doing much worse than the nations that don't have that Christian heritage, that have other false religions that they abide by. But they seem to have more control over their children than the West. I mean, the West is just absolutely laughable. That's the way the world looks at the Western countries. They think they're absolute fools. They have all of these privileges, all of this advancement, and look at the mess that they've made of their society. And so certainly we can testify to that, even in our own country, in terms of the state of society. And we trace it to the breakdown of the family. whether it's in terms of husbands and wives or whether it's in terms of children. It's just a breakdown of society. And we see the reverberations of that fault in every area of society. The schools don't know what to do. They can't keep control. And the police can't keep control. The youth are running wild. We have all of our prisons full because of what's happening. All because we tossed aside the Word of God. And we looked down upon it in our sophisticated world and our so-called wisdom. And we look down on people that would dare discipline their children and think how primitive these people are. In fact, abusive. To raise your hand to a child? To punish a child? Are you kidding me? It's got to such a state that people are afraid to do that in public. Lest someone's going to call Child Protective Services and say this person is abusing their child. I mean, that's the extent to which this thinking has so become commonplace in our society. And so Christian parents have to be careful. They have to take that into account. But it's a worse and a most terrible mistake for Christian parents and churches to abandon discipline, to cave to the pressure all around us. Now we have to admit that when society caricatures the way that children were raised in past generations, there is an element of truth to what they're saying. I mean, there was a time when children were very disciplined, but there was kind of a harshness to it. There wasn't a love that went with it. And so children had this sense that they were, you know, they were held down, they were oppressed. In fact, what was the saying? Children are to be seen and not heard. Well, that's not a very loving attitude towards children, is it? We can tolerate seeing you, but just don't want to hear anything. Just be quiet. And the old Victorian way of raising children was, you know, perhaps it had families that were had control over their children. But was there real training? Did they really impact the heart? Did they mold the heart of their children to love God and to serve Him? Or was it just simply done out of duty, done because you just didn't want the beating? No, we don't want to be like that. That's not what we're talking about. And sometimes that can happen. Christian parents can act in that way. There's no lack. There's no love there. There's just a strong hand. Where children are not appreciative, but angry. Angry at the way that they are being treated and they are being raised. So we have to have that in mind too. And we have to factor that into what the Scriptures is telling us. But society, of course, is promoting this idea that, and it gets at to the nature of man, which we're going to look at a little more deeply this evening, that basically man is good and he just needs room to develop. And so that creeps into our education system. We shouldn't force children to, you know, to learn the three R's, you know, let them, you know, decide what they want to learn and at the pace at what they want to learn, right? And let's just have a less pressured approach. In fact, we don't even want to say they're wrong. I mean, that can damage their psyche, right? Never tell them they're wrong. And so society reacts to a problem in a wrong way. They fly to the other extreme. If it's true that certain parents went overboard in the past generations, they've swung completely to the other side. The balancing of real strict discipline without love is not no discipline at all. It's biblical discipline. And so the scriptures, when it's dealing with the whole relationship of parents with children, it addressed the children. We looked at that last week, that they are to be submissive to their parents. God wants them. This is the right thing to do. We are to respect our parents. We are to obey them in the Lord. But the children are also encouraged to hear God continue to speak and address their parents. God doesn't say, children, obey your parents. Parents, do whatever you like. He doesn't say that. He says, children, obey your parents. And then he says to parents, don't exasperate your children. Don't provoke them to anger. In the same way that he said, God's word says to wives, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Lord, do you know what kind of guy he is? You know the imperfections? You know the likelihood of abuse that I'm going to open myself to when you tell me to do that? But God hasn't finished speaking, has he? He says, wives, be submissive to your husband. And then he turns around, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church. So Christ does understand the dangers that exist for us as children, with parents, imperfect people over us. But God addresses them too. And so if you keep your ears open, and you'll see how God loves you in the way that he addresses parents. So what is biblical discipline? Well, biblical discipline has certain pitfalls that we have to avoid. I call them the seven deadly errors. First of all, parents need to understand that biblical discipline has to have control. You cannot discipline your children if you don't maintain control. You will not be serving their good in terms of what the Father intends if you are out of control. God is never out of control. When he disciplines his children, he's never out of control. He's always acting perfectly in accord with his nature. So we're told not to provoke our children or exasperate them. When we act towards them by not having control of ourselves when we engage in discipline, then we will provoke them. They will not hear a word that you're saying. They will, in fact, put up defenses because of the way that you're acting. And this may manifest itself in many different ways. I mean, I'm not persuaded that simply raising your voice is being out of control. It is true that when people are out of control, then their voice does rise. But not every rise in decibel of your voice means that you're out of control. Absolutely not. But we certainly need, we know the difference, right? We know the difference between when our parents raise our voice and when they shout at the top of their voice. When they are just rage, you know, enraged. And so we have to make sure that when we need to discipline our children, that we are filled with the Spirit. Right? I mean, that's what our life is supposed to be. That's the whole section that Paul is dealing with. It all has to do with walking in the Spirit, right? Being guided by the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit. Well, the Spirit of God doesn't lead us to be out of control. And so as parents, we need to always remember that and say, well, if I'm so mad, right, if I'm so out of control, this is not the time for me to discipline. Let discipline be delayed until I can work through that emotion myself first, so that I can come back and address that in the correct way, in the safe way. And that's why it's also important that when parents discipline, that both parents be there. If possible, right? I mean, you can't always have that. But both parents be there. Why? Because then there's a balance and check. So if the father's out of control, the wife can say something. If the wife is out of control, a husband can say something. Even though, I might add, it's very difficult to stand by and see discipline take place. There's always a tendency to intervene and almost end the discipline. So we have to be careful, right? As the other partner, that we have to be careful. Discipline needs to take place, but it needs to take place in a biblical way. And so there has to be control. And so we need to control ourselves. Anytime we're out of control, we're not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're under some other influence. We're under the influence of the emotion that's overtaken us. So be careful. I mean, we all fall in it. I'm not berating everyone else and saying, well, nobody, I don't do it. We all do it. It's a challenge that we all face. But it's a challenge that we have to acknowledge. The other thing is that we have to be consistent in our discipline. people that are into sports know that, you know, we have umpires, we have referees, whether it's soccer, whether it's baseball, or whatever it is. You understand why players get frustrated, because sometimes the referees are not consistent. I mean, they think they are, but sometimes replay shows that they're not consistent. And sometimes it's blatant, right? So one point they call a foul, the next moment a person gets fouled, they don't call a foul. So the other player feels frustrated now that he's been fouled and the other player hasn't been called, but when his team fouled, he called it. Well, that's the same in discipline. We have to be consistent that when our children do certain things and we address them, that when they do it again, we address it again. Well, we don't change with the wind, right? Sometimes we're right there and they're doing those things and we say nothing, right? We're fine, we're happy. Next time we're in the same situation, they're doing those things. Now we say, what are you doing? Well, before I was doing it, you didn't say anything, and now, I mean, what? I don't know the boundaries. You're not making it clear, right? You're being fuzzy about that. And so now I don't know how to, you know, like the sports. Now the players don't know how to play. They don't know what they can do or what they can't do. They don't know where the limits are. And so that's unfair for them. So as parents then, we need to be consistent. And that's difficult. Because why? Because sometimes maybe we're in a good mood and it doesn't matter, right? So we're feeling good, we don't care. But other times we're not feeling in such a good mood, so every little thing that the child does irritates us, right? And so we get on their case. No, biblical discipline ought not to go up and down based on your emotions and how you feel at that particular time. No, we need to be consistent. God's law doesn't change, does it? God's law remains the same. And so we have to strive hard to be consistent and to lay out limits, which of course are laid out for us in God's word. But also, we have to be reasonable. Parents must not act in such a decisive way that we have no time or inclination to hear any explanation by our children. It's like I'm judge and jury. By my by my one glimpse of what you did, I've assessed the whole situation. I know exactly what happened, and I'm ready to dish out the discipline. No. I mean, we wouldn't like that in our society, would we? The policeman comes and gives us a good whack, didn't ask us any question or anything, just, you know, that's it. Well, I mean, they don't do it here, but in other countries they do, right? But we wouldn't like that. We'd say, hey, what's going on? You didn't give me a chance to explain. You didn't even ask anything. And you just came at me with discipline. There's so many explanations that God gives in God's word. When he's disciplined his nation, he tells them why. I told you this and you did that, and I was patient with you and you continued to do it. There was no question that the Israelites never had a situation where God disciplined them and said, I wonder why he did that. Kind of strange. They knew exactly why they were having the problems that they had, because of their rebellion against God. And they had no arguments to bring in their defense. And so our children, when they do certain things, then we ought to be reasonable, and we need to ask them. We need to ask them questions. We need to explain, you know, why you're doing what you're doing because of what they have done. And if they have a reasonable explanation for that, then we need to listen to it and act appropriately. And not just cast it aside. There's a time that we can help them understand. It ought to be valid what we're doing. They need to understand why we're doing it. Only then is it going to have an impact upon them. But if they feel they've been hard done by, and they had a reasonable explanation, and you didn't even take the time to hear it, that's going to provoke them. That's going to exasperate them. That's going to lead them to lose confidence in you. But also we have to be careful that we don't become possessive parents. And by that I mean that our discipline has a goal in and of itself that is separate from the child. In other words, we want a perfect family. We want everyone to think that we're great parents, right? And we want our children to behave just the way that they ought to behave. And then you think, well, wait a minute, that really isn't the purpose that God gave us children and gave us authority over them. It wasn't for our own glory. It wasn't for us to have another credential, unwritten, of course, but in the minds of other people, a credential that we're good parents and we control our children. I mean, that's terrible. Then your children are pawns. Then you want them, you know, to act in a certain way so other people will say good things about you. But that wasn't the point. The point was for your children's future. The point was for your children's well-being, that they may be made wise unto salvation, that they may be made good citizens that would live in God's world in a way that God would be pleased with. It was all about them. But when we personalize everything, it's our family and we want it, then people of God, as Jesus said to the Pharisees, you have your reward. You have your reward. When you pressure your children and force them to act in certain ways and they do, that's your reward. But get prepared. Because when they leave your home, they're not going to walk in those paths. Because they understood it was all for you and that you did not care for them. You just wanted to bring them out as some jewelry to show to your friends. No, no, no. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They're not to be used as pawns for our own aggrandizement. We're to train them, not tie them down. But also we need to be instructive in our discipline. That's the whole point, isn't it? We need to train them. That means they need to learn how to act and why they act in that way, so that it becomes part of them. They own those values. They're not imposed upon them, such that when the imposition is taken away, they act wild. And I'm sure we have examples of that. Certainly in the world, we have examples of that. I'm sure it's in the church too. I've heard it, where children, once they go to college, they're just different people. Why? Well, because the restraints are gone. And they were unwilling participants in acting a certain way. But once you took those restraints away, it was up to them, and they showed their true colors. So as parents, we have to understand that I'm to instruct this child, I'm to train this child. And that means not only controlling them when they're young, but also engaging them so that they understand why it is that you're calling them to act in certain ways. You teach them why it's good for them. This is what God said, right? Children, obey your parents. This is right. This is right. And it will go well with you. Right? And so as parents, we need to spend time. As I said, as our children develop mentally, as they grow, we need to spend more time explaining to them why it is that we want to have them act in certain ways. And by the way, the most important thing that we need to bring to their attention is that it's not my rules, it's God's rules. I'm not imposing on you what I think is right and proper. No, I'm handing down to you what God has handed down to me. I'm bringing rules that I also am subject to under my Heavenly Father. And so that we need to teach them. But we need to go further and say how and why it is in their best interest. That this is a way of God's blessing upon them. And so, as I said, the Bible is filled with so many explanations. I mean, that's why we have the books of wisdom, don't we? I mean, Ecclesiastes goes through such a detailed argument as to why we ought not to live in this world apart from God. We ought not to pursue goals that are not related to God, because it's meaningless. It's vanity of vanities. And he traces these kinds of lives and show how it ends in futility. Didn't have to. Could just say, well, this is what God says. That's it. But God isn't that kind of a father. He wants us to understand. And we need to be balanced. Punishments are varied in the Old Testament, as you very well know, to reflect the seriousness of the sin, usually as it relates to the well-being of society. So as parents, we must make sure that our punishment is proportional to the infraction. We're not teaching our children that certain sins are okay and certain things are really bad. But we are reflecting the Bible's teaching that there are certain sins that are sins, and certainly the wages of sin is death. But in this temporal world, God doesn't react to every sin in this world in the same way. And so neither should we. So there needs to be a balanced approach. Some think that if they really come down hard, that it will prevent disobedience. In other words, if they're really harsh, that it's going to get to the heart of the child. No, it's not. It's not. I mean, I've known children where you punish them, it doesn't seem to have any effect. One of my nephews was like that. I mean, you discipline it. Go ahead. Tie them to it. Go ahead. Right? So force isn't the only means. We need to reason with our children according to the scriptures. And by the way, we need to be careful that, as I said, we don't overstep the mark. I mean, you hear on TV, parents, they're so wise and effective. So what do? They go on Facebook and post all kinds of things about their children. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Or they have their children stand on street corners with placards. Do you think their children really appreciate that? And say, you know, my parents really love me. I think this is real. I mean, they're fuming inside. But somehow their parents have enough control to make them do it. So we have, I mean, if you're ever in two minds about, you know, how should I be, just ask yourself, how does God react to me? How does God father me as an adult? And when we see the graciousness of God and the love towards us, and the way that he's patient, but still disciplines us, then that ought to have an effect on the way that we treat our children, not to antagonize them, not to provoke them. They understand that they're going to be punished for certain things, but they can take that. They understand that. But when we lay it on beyond what is reasonable and balanced, then we have the opposite effect. And the last thing as far as these concerns are involved is maturity. By that I mean, as parents, we must understand that there's a certain framework in terms of time where we have a certain approach that will that is effective and balanced. So when they're children, okay, it's time that we can slap them on their hand or however you want to discipline discipline to them. But as time goes on, they're getting older and older, and we have to make sure that we change with the times. We adopt a relevant means, and especially when they're getting older, we don't want to be treating 12 and 13 year olds like 5 year olds. They have developed, and so we begin to treat them on that level. And when they get to teens, of course, the time for spanking is gone, long gone, long gone. If you're not careful, they'll be spanking you. So we have to be careful. We have to reason with them. And so you have to, and also, by the way, you have to give responsibility over them. When they're children, we teach them, we would tell them, and we guide them. But there's some point where they have to understand that they are responsible before God. That you have to put it on their mind to think through these things. I mean, still certain things, of course, even when they're teens and they're living in your house, that you have a right to say, no, you can't act that way. You can't act that way. But we do have to treat them as 18-year-olds. They do have to take that responsibility on themselves. And so parenting isn't easy. There are all kinds of pitfalls that the devil has laid for us so that we fall into them and we make a mess. And we will. We will make mistakes. Let there be no doubt about that. You're going to make mistakes. I've made mistakes. But we need to keep before our minds what God has laid upon us, the well-being of your children. And so we have to do it in a biblical way. We need to take it seriously. We need to give time and attention to that. One writer wrote, you know, we spend more time sometimes training our pets than we do our children. Right? We pay to take our dog somewhere so they will listen to what we say. But that which is most important to us, our children, we kind of take it as it leave it. Just take it as it comes. No. We as Christian parents need to pray. We need to ask God to help us. We need to spend time thinking about those things. We need to spend time reflecting on the passages in the scriptures that speak about that and let that penetrate into our deepest recesses of our minds and hearts so that we can be good parents, that we discipline according to the scriptures, that we discipline with love for our children at heart. And that's why Hebrews says what it says, doesn't it? We love them. We love them. We talked so much about discipline, which is fine. We need to. But we equally have to speak about loving them. And you know that you love them, but we need to show it. We need to show it. And so it's something that we need to communicate to our children. And by the way, we want to address their heart. That's the point. We're not simply content when they do whatever we want them to do and they act nice. I mean, the prodigal son was a wonderful child. He was very obedient. He went to work every day. He did whatever his father wanted him to do. But his heart was unchanged. We don't just want children to do what we say. We want our children to love the Lord. And so we have to address the heart. And so we have to put obedience into context. To obey the Lord, to love Him, because to know Him is to have eternal life. And that's what we're concerned about. And so parenting, as I said, is a very difficult job. But the Bible gives us all that we need, and it gives us the warnings that we need. So let us love our children. Love them enough to tell them and to discipline them and to train them in the way of the Lord and to bring them to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important person, and without a relationship with Him and to walk obediently before God, they have nothing. But with Him, they have everything. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for the blessing that You've given to us as families, as children. And Lord, what an awesome responsibility that is. And our Father, we know as ministers and elders, they have responsibilities and takes time and effort and so much energy. But our Father, we as parents, we have that in regard to our children. And You know how much we love them and how much we care about them. And so our Father, we pray that You would keep the devil from us so that he doesn't complicate and bring irritants and divisions into these relationships. But together as husbands and wives, we may so surround our children with love and with Your word, so that they know how to act, how to behave, but more importantly, how to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent and to ask not only forgiveness from parents, but ultimately forgiveness from You, knowing that they will be forgiven and will be restored. Our Father in heaven, we ask that You would indeed bless our families, enrich them, strengthen them, and through them that we may have a strong church and that we may have a strong witness in this world in which we live. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.